Electric piano. I miss that. How are you guys doing this week? Yeah. Felt like a little bit of a rumble there. Well, I mean, just this is our 3-year anniversary. We've been around 3 years. That's the Holy Trinity of church years. How does that feel? Feels good. So good. Just that's the. No, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's just sound, but. Holy Spirit is ever present, so it could be. If it's like I need an amen, I'll just go, like whatever that sound is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You agree? Confirmed by signs and wonders. Anyways, 3 years. This is an awesome time. We were just, Angelisa and I were just, and Zane, our little baby. We just went out to Calgary for the weekend. She's right there. She's looking right at me. Hey, baby. We just were in Calgary, and we just got invited up to the stage. Pastor Lauren asked us, what's going on in Saskatoon? I mumbled something, and then Ange cleared it up. And but one thing that's really excited, Pastor Lauren has already shared last year, and or last week in front of the church at C3 Calgary, and I'm going to share it today, is we are actually becoming our own church in a sense of we've been a campus of C3 Calgary for the last 3 years, but as a good, healthy way, we've stayed close to the mama church. Do you know what I'm saying? You can put two and two together. We've stayed close, getting some milk and getting some love and getting some care, but there's a certain point where the eagle just pushes the, is that the way to say it? Just pushes its kid out of the nest. You got to learn to fly it sometime. Yeah, eagle goes and gets it. So we've been doing about 3 years of, but now we're learning to fly. So it's a beautiful thing. That's kind of an exciting thing. If you don't know, we've been like a portion of somebody else's church. Now we're just going to be a church. Yeah. That's a cool thing. Many of you have been coming to this church for like the last couple years. You're like, I just thought we were church already. We are, and we are again even more. He is and is to come. Now and not yet, but now. Okay, but this is good. Well, I'm going to turn to Matthew 28. If you have your Bibles, I'll be reading from NKJV on the iPad KJV. It's Baptism Sunday. So this is the last portion of Scripture that we read that Matthew presents in his gospel when he's talking about Jesus. This is the very last command of Jesus that we read. So it's Matthew 28:18. It says, Jesus came up to and spoke with them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's so many cool words in there that we sometimes skip over. A couple weeks back, I talked about that word, lo. That means look. It's just like a KJV or a Shakespearean. It's an old English word for like look. God's like, and look, search for me. I'm always there with you. This is very fascinating. If the verse is still, I'll be able to go up there. I like this. Verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Not a period, okay? Not a period. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Not a period again. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. I am with you always. Look to me. I'm with you always to the end of the age. I find it is very... It's not a coincidence that Jesus ties together, make a disciple, baptize them into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Don't just say, many, many times we want to do this. Come to the front, receive Jesus. And then it's like, and then we kind of are like, be on your merry way. No, it's very much like Jesus is like, baptize them. Baptize means, if we picture water, it's going down into the water, full immersion. You in the water, you become one. He says that's the same thing. When you make a disciple, when somebody comes to Christ, baptize them fully into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How many know if you try and do this Christian life without the Holy Spirit, it's not going to go well for you? If you become a disciple of Jesus Christ, say that sinner's prayer, however you want to view it, and then you say, got it from here, Jesus. thank you very much, but I got it from here. You haven't been baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the way that Jesus wants. And then he ties it with one more verse, if we can just have that back up there one more time. Two more verses, actually. But he says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Sometimes we can get a little off track when we just like to pull whatever scripture we like from that Bible. You know what? Jesus is pretty clear. Teach them what I taught you. Jesus doesn't mince words, does he? No. Disciple them, and you disciple them, and you also baptize them in the Father's Son. And then teach them what I taught you. Because David, we read in Psalm 5, you want to read this? Psalm 5 says, this is King David, he says, the boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. David, thank you. You hate sinners. Well, John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his own son, that whosoever believeth in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. David says God hates the sinner, and what does Jesus say? I love the sinner. I love the sinner so much that I'll give my life for him. Is this, you guys following what I'm saying? You tracking? Something very important about when we're doing this today, baptizing people. Don't just pull any scripture you like and just say, yeah, this is what I'm preaching on. I would stick as close as you can to Jesus, because Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. Am I right? Yeah. Jesus is made manifest what God is like. Do you know what the word represent? Jesus perfectly represents God. What does that mean? Represents. He comes on the scene and he perfectly presents what God is like. He perfectly. So there's something about Jesus that I've always just been drawn to his words. Some people are really drawn to the teachings of Paul. I'm like, I love Paul too. He just like further like elaborates on what Jesus was saying. But this morning, I wanted to start with that verse. That's the very last verse of the Matthew Gospel. After the Gospels comes the book of Acts. And I wanted to read the first chunk of the book of Acts. There's so much I could talk about, but this is something I've been learning with my friend. You guys know Connor Schramm? He's like, yeah, if he's listening to the podcast, love you, bro. It was really cool. Like, when Angie and I came here, I know, speed it up, she's saying. When Angie and I came here, we had a few people join the church, probably like 10 people right off the bat, people like Mike and Kyle, and like, there's so many, if I excluded you, sorry, but there's so many, there's about 10 people like that were right off the hop joining with us, but we were still getting to know. And I had a previous relationship with a buddy named Connor, who's also a pastor. And he was just right off the bat, he was just like, I know what it's like coming to a city again where you need to make some friends. I just want you to know I'm always here for you as a brother in the Lord. That's been, and it's been a very special relationship for the last couple of years. And something that I've been learning from him, he's younger than me. I got to learn from him. He's like an elder. Anyways, move along, like my wife said. There's this one verse that I hadn't read quite clearly until I learned it from him, and so thank you very much. And we're going to go into that. So if you have your book, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in Acts. So Acts 1. This is probably one of my favorite chunks of the whole Bible. The first account composed Theophilus about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these, he presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days. We forget about that. I forget about that time all the time. Jesus was on earth with these fellas for 40 days after his resurrection in his holy, perfect, risen body. And he just walks and talks with these fellas about all the mysteries. What is the resurrection? What did it do? What was the victory that was won? He just gets to walk and talk with these disciples. You know, all 12 of these disciples laid their lives down. 11 of them died just like him by martyrdom. So there's something that Jesus is teaching him that is a profound God in the flesh resurrected 40 days. Just fascinating, right? That's why I love it. Appearing to them 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard from me. I'll skip that. But for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Just another fantastic scripture. Do not leave Jerusalem until you've been endued with power, until you've received the promise of the Holy Spirit. just like I said before, don't go and try and do your ministry without the relying on the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't recommend it, so I probably wouldn't do it. Move on, verse 6. So when they come together, they're asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? I have no idea what, like, they're, like, why they're, like, he's just sharing these great truths with them. It's like almost like they cut him off. Are you restoring Israel now, Jesus? You know, they're a little bit goofy, these disciples, sometimes, where their heads are at. And he just like, boys, he said. Said to them, 7, it is not for you to know the times or epochs with the Father, which the Father has fixed in his own authority. But, track your mind back, boys, this is what I was trying to talk about. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they're looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky, while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him, saying, they also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go to heaven. 40 days he's just spent with them. And then there's like this moment where Jesus is on Mount Sinai, and it says he ascends to the throne, the ascension we talk about. And it's like, it's almost just like he's full of helium. I don't know what it's like, but he just ascends. He goes into a cloud and gone. And you can just picture those fellas just like, you have to like imagine, I don't know how long they were there, like, okay, remember that question we asked him about Israel? What did he say about that? Did he say now? No. Somebody was recording. Theophilus, thank you for recording that, or Luke. Anyways, they're just staring, and two angels have to appear, just like, fellas, you lift up your jaws a little bit. What do you have to worry about? In the same way he left, he's going to come back again. Don't be disheartened. Don't be afraid. The same way he left, he's going to come back again. So he goes up, men are standing, the angels come. He's going to return in the same manner he left, is what the angel said. Here's the thing. The major problem that we have in the church today, worldwide, the community of people who identify themselves as followers of Jesus, they believe that God is going to return in a different manner than the way he left. I used to think the angel was saying, just, you know, he floated up, he'll float down. But the crazy thing, this word, the same manner, it means tropos, and the only time it's used is in James 1:17 as well. It says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no manner of turning or shifting shadow. It's powerful. What it's saying is the same Jesus who left is the same Jesus that's going to return. The same Jesus that went to heaven and is on the throne is the same Jesus that's going to return. The same one who pre-existed before the world began, who created us, that same Jesus is coming back. So the world sometimes teaches, or maybe the church even teaches, and the disciples are looking up, and the angel has to say, don't worry, the same guy who left is the same guy who's coming back. There's no shadow of turning in the Father of lights, right? There's no dark side to God. There's no evil side to God that's going to come back in the end times. Just like, it's like sometimes people think like we're in this time of waiting. Jesus was really nice. He's going to go away for like 2,000-3,000 years or whatever, and he's going to come back with vengeance and fire. He's coming to kill. No. A Jesus coming to kill, if you're waiting for that type of Jesus, he's not coming back, because that type of Jesus has never existed, and that type of Jesus will never exist. The same Jesus who left is the same Jesus who's coming back. John preached on this in his last Sunday of December. He talked about metaphors, people. God coming to kill. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. It's a battle of spirits and principalities. God, if you think God is going to come back, kill humanity, you're waiting for a different Jesus that does not exist and will not be returning. We have a good God. Who believes in a good God? There's no shadow of turning. So Jesus, this is not a new thing. Do you know James and Peter? They were ministering to these people that did not receive Jesus. And they say this really goofy thing. Let's actually Luke 9, 51. It says, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him. They didn't receive Jesus because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? The same fellows. Oh my goodness. Do you want us to straight up murder these fellas, Jesus? Can you imagine? These are the disciples. It says the time right before the ascension. This is 3 years into ministry. And they don't even know what Jesus is like. Anyways. 55, he turns to them, rebuked them, and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. So they have so much confidence that they're with God in the flesh, and they're just like, they believe that they could call fire down from heaven. And Jesus, he doesn't even just like say no straight up, he just says, you do not know what spirit you are speaking of. You do not know what kind of influence you are allowing in your mind that would make you think like that right now. You don't know what spirit you're of, but I can tell you it's not of my spirit. I did not come into the world to kill. I came to save. That's what our Jesus is like. Completely judgment-free. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. The Father will judge. He's a perfect example of what we could be like as a church. C3 Church, you guys with me on this? There's another verse that says, he's talking to humans, and he says, Jesus, what's the Father like, pretty much? And he says, okay, you being like mortal men, you being evil, he says, if your son asks for bread, do you give him a stone? Or if he's hungry or whatever, do you give him a snake? But I don't know what the actual word is there. If you ask for a fish, will you give him a snake? And he says, if you then, being evil, being like mortal, being just men, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. That's a great band name. But Jesus is saying, the same way that you guys know better, You don't go kill your kids. You don't go, you want a fish? Here's a snake, like Tim Hortons here. Like Jesus is explaining to these fellas, what do you think God is like? Do you think he has a shadow of turning? Do you think there's a dark, shadowy side to God where he's just gonna flip all of a sudden? Is that what you actually think of Jesus? You think you're gonna ask him for bread and he's gonna be like, ha ha, just toss a stone at you from a million feet. He's just like, how do you even think this way? You guys being mortal know how to give good gifts. How much more does the Father in heaven want to give good gifts to those who ask? I believe that this church, if we would stay judgment-free, if we would stay any type of vengeful thought, they did this, therefore I think we should do this, call fire down. If we will stay away from that and we would be like Christ as a church, as a body of people here, we could turn the city upside down. We're not the only one. There's many great churches in this city. But this type of thinking that God is good, it's almost dangerous. You know, Jesus was invited, as far as I can read in the Gospels, to as many drunks' houses and prostitutes' houses as Pharisees. He's invited to the same amount of parties, and he went to both Pharisees and the parties. And you know what? They attacked Jesus' character. It's one of the things that got him on the cross. They attacked who he was. And you know what? If you were going to allow people into your life, if we're going to allow anyone into this church, people might assume that we condone their behavior. We condone what they're doing. But the point of what Jesus is doing, he says, I accept all, I love all, and the Father does the judgment on the end day. Can we live in that kind of Christianity? One thing that Alex, I don't know if she's said it from the front yet, but one thing we're going to be doing as a church, as one of the things we do, is ministering to the prisons. If you want to be part of that, I really recommend and encourage you to do that. If we do that, I hope that these ex-cons, once released, can have a church family to come to. They may not have everything together, but are we going to be a church that says, I don't know if I can trust you, or are we going to accept them into our family? Because people may call you out on it and say, you hang out with that guy? Yeah, I do. His probation officer had to extend his probation limit so he could come to be with us at Broadway Theater. He wasn't allowed to come this far, but he gets to hang out with us. And we don't judge him at all. I don't even know him like you know him. Because to me, he's just another brother or sister in the Lord. Something fascinating, guys. Well, let's get to some baptisms. I just want to explain a little bit of our heart here at C3. It's a family. You are loved. There's other things I could hit on, but ultimately, the way God sees all of us is just as sons and daughters, right? Everyone wants to put their label on themselves. Oh, I'm like this. I like this type of person. I like this. I like a male. I like a female. All those things. Okay, you like all those things, but when you're at church, drop those labels, because we're all just sons and daughters of God. I've done this in my past. That's okay. When you come to this church, you're just a son of God. You're just a daughter of God. I like this person. I don't. Okay, well, that's okay. While you're here and while you're with me, we're all just sons and daughters of God. But yes, let's get into some baptisms. Baptisms! I'm going to invite the band up. I'll also invite Mike up to literally lend me a hand. He's going to help me do some dunking, just in case I'm not strong enough, which you would doubt. But I don't want to risk it. Oh, look at this collared shirt looking good. I should have dressed like that. Me and you, Jordan, up front, t-shirt rocking. It's because, you know, we get here at 7 o'clock and we sweat as we set up these things. You don't want to see me even after an hour wearing that heavy of a shirt. It's not pretty. Baptisms. Baptisms is based on a story in the Old Testament of when the Israelites... God wanted to free the Israelites from Pharaoh. Pharaoh had all the Israelites, the people of God, as slaves. For generations, they didn't even know what it was like to be free. And God, through Moses, just is pushing on Pharaoh, let those people go. Free those people. And after a certain amount of time and a certain amount of telling Pharaoh, he lets the people go. Okay? The people of God have been set free. They're gathering, they're going to go on their journey, and guess what happens? Pharaoh changes his mind. He says, wait a minute, no, I want those slaves back. And guess what he does? He gets his army, he gets his men in chariots, he says, chase after those guys. We're getting our slaves back. What happens? Moses and the people of Israel get to the sea, they get to a body of water that they can't go past. If they can't go through this water, they're getting attacked from behind and they're being enslaved again. What God does is he opens up the waters. Have you guys seen the movie, I guess? Have you read the Bible? Prince of Egypt? We're all picturing the Prince of Egypt in our mind right now. Let's just say it like it is. God opens up the waters. He opens up the waters, and the people of Israel, the Hebrew people, are just able to walk on dry ground through. And it's almost like the last one. As the last Israelite gets through the water, all the Egyptians are coming across, chariots, men saying, you're going to get back here. The waters close. And all the problems that they had faced, all the enemies that were against them are gone. They get to have a new life. They are free. That's good news for the Israelites. That's just, anyways. Oh! So the same thing with baptism, this going through the water. When you come into this water, it doesn't matter what you're carrying, doesn't matter what you've been through, we believe in this moment, it's a very symbolic moment. When you go into the water, doesn't matter, you are coming out of the water, and whatever was chasing after you, whatever was burdening you, you're going to leave behind. And you're going to come into a body of believers, like we read Jesus says, these disciples, baptize them into the full Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so what do we do? When we see this, guys, we recognize that this is a moment for us as well. We're saying, yes, I believe you're teaching, Jesus. These people are being baptized. And we as a family together are going to baptize them in what we just talked about. Baptize them in the love of Jesus. Baptize them in what Jesus is like, the perfect representation of the Father. And we're going to teach. We're going to love each other. And we're going to teach, like Jesus said, everything that I have taught you. We're going to teach them what Jesus is like, what he shared. We're going to teach them things like, oh, when someone slaps you, what do? You hit them back. No, Jesus says, you actually turn the other cheek. This is what we're going to be as a family. Am I right? Well, all right. My right arm's strong. You want to go on that side? Hope you got a strong left arm, left hook. Well, Alicia. Got a bunch of people getting baptized today. Mike, don't cut her off. Don't want all the pictures of you. Just joking. There you go. Just kidding, buddy. Here. I love you. Okay. Pictures can be of you. No, I just wanted to touch you in case I hurt your feelings. You do have the better, you have just as good a beard as me. Don't say that. I have a better beard. Okay. Alicia, you're going to get baptized. This is great. Would you share as little as much as you like? Not too much. Not like 5 minutes, but go a solid 2 minutes ago of how Jesus has changed your life.
Okay, so when Brock told me I had 2 minutes, I kind of panicked because how do you fit everything right that God's done for you into
you go
two
for
minutes?
It.
No idea. So I'm going to try to give you a little bit of a rundown, but basically, God's my everything. Jesus is my everything. And I don't mean to say that in a cliche kind of way. But I grew up in a Christian home. I just never really pursued God on my own time or looked for him or cared to know him. And when I was 17, I went through a really bad breakup, and I was sad, and I was having this horrible day. And I was driving to Saskatoon with my mom, and we were on our way to a concert. And we were talking about how sad I was and how I just felt like I was never going to find true love and that, you know, just being a dramatic 17-year-old. And we stop, and my mom is like, you know, Alicia, sometimes the things that happen to us, it's kind of like you're an oyster, and everything that happens and bangs you up on the outside turns you into this beautiful pearl on the inside and transforms you. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, I just want perfect love. So we pull into this gas station. It's 2 hours from anywhere in either direction, and it's in the middle of nowhere. And I go into the bathroom, and I come back out, and as I'm about to get in the car, a stranger just holds something over my shoulder, and I was kind of like, oh, what's this for? I didn't look at it, and he just said, it's just for being here today. And he had this big smile on his face, and I was like, well, thanks, you know? And he leaves, and I get in the car, and I look down, and it's this box, and inside there's a can, and you pop it open, and there's an oyster, and you pop open the oyster, and there's a pearl inside, and you put it in this necklace, and on the box it says perfect love. And I burst into tears, and me and my mom looked at each other, and we're like, whoa, like, crazy. So that was my first experience with God, and since then, it has been him pursuing me relentlessly through everything that I've gone through every trial, like, lost my father, my sister killed someone accidentally in a car accident. It has been horribly difficult, but God has not stopped pursuing me, and he's brought me here, and he's the reason I'm here. He's literally my everything, so that's who he is to me.
Beautiful. All right. A little cold, but you can handle. Yeah, go ahead. Right on. So why don't you cross your hands? How do we do this? Yeah, good enough. Right on. All right. Well, okay. Alicia, have you made Jesus Lord of your life?
Yes.
Right on. Based on the confession of your faith, then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hey! Beautiful. Let's get Sam up here. Sam the man. Oh, yeah. Can see you? Well, Sam, would you, again, would you like to share just on how Jesus has changed your life?
Okay. Much like Alicia, I grew up in the church. It didn't much matter to me. That's the fact of it. I didn't care. I didn't like going to church. But I was kind of up and down with my faith throughout high school. And then just at the end of grade 12, I was in a relationship, and I ended up having to give it up for this, for all of you guys, for the Lord. And I honestly didn't really know why. I didn't know why I did it. I didn't know why I had to. But since then, I've been learning a lot about forgiveness and about forgiving myself and forgiving other people as well. And the freedom that it's given me is just incredible. Like, it's crazy, because I felt so condemned, and I felt like I was condemning myself and that others were condemning me as well. But that just wasn't the case. And the freedom that I feel now through all of this is just incredible. I feel like I can do anything, really. Mm.
Beautiful.
That's what I got.
That's good, God. Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Right on. Well, Sam, you made Jesus Lord of your life.
Yes.
Yeah. Based on a confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's get Alicia to come out. Sorry, Aisha. My bad. Alicia's already been baptized. Why are you still hanging out there? I'm joking. Just Aisha. Well, again, Aisha, would you share a little bit of your story and what Jesus has been in your life?
Okay, so I was born and raised as a Muslim girl until, I don't know, I grew up in a way where I never felt that true love. I was lonely, and it was just like sitting and thinking about your future, and there was like no light. So then I gave up on God for about a year, where I was like, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in all these prophets, and I hate religion. And I became atheist, but it was just, I don't know, I just always had this heart for God, and I wanted to do something, but it just, everything I was doing before as a Muslim wasn't right, it didn't make sense, or it just wasn't what I was looking for, or it's just really hard to explain, but it was just this one night, a crazy night, where I sat down in my bed, and I was crying so loud, and my whole family couldn't hear me, like, they hear me crying, but nobody even bothered to come into my room or say, are you okay, but I opened my hands. I wasn't praying to any God in particular. It was just me being whoever created me, whoever you are, this thing or this person. I just want you to show me something or anything, and I just want to pursue you because I know you are there. I know there's a God, but I know where to look up and what to do. And so while I was praying, I had this really crazy dream. It was this man in like long white dress, and all I could see was his feet and his hands, and I couldn't look. I was trying so hard to look up, but I couldn't. It was too bright. And he had in his hand this red book, and it says Bible on it, which I heard of Bible, I heard of Jesus before, but had no knowledge or who he was or anything. So it's just I woke up with these crazy feelings and thoughts and everything. So it just started from there. It was this dream, and then all the people that God put into my life after that, they answered my question and guide me, brought me to church, and it started from there. And all the little things and all the little miracles that God put into my life, it's crazy, because I never thought like ever that one day I would be here as a Christian. Because it is crazy to say as a growing up as a Muslim and just even being here, and just it's just crazy for me. So now I'm here and God has changed so much into my life. I still know that I need to grow so much, and I still have so much to learn about God. But so far, just His love and the peace I have in me, and just when I feel, again, still so sad some days, I have this joy. And most importantly, it's like the hope. There's a hope. Now when I look to the future, there's a light, and I see it. And God's going to touch my family, my whole entire family's heart. And I just believe it with all my heart. And we're all, they're going to be saved someday. And Amen. That's my biggest wish. Thank you, God.
Amen.
He's been amazing to me. He's everything to me. Yeah.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Cool, you can just go right on to you. Awesome. All right. And Aisha, have you made Jesus Lord of your life?
Yes.
All right. Based on the confession of your faith, and I'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Joshua. Josh, would you share with us this morning how God has been a part of your life, how He's changed your life?
For sure. Well, first, when I was 8, was the first day of the first year I accepted Jesus into my life. But I went into life just sort of, I continued. It got harder and harder. I moved farther and farther away throughout high school. And I got really far away. And then I met my wife. That started bringing me back. The year that we got married, I was in a very serious accident. I knew that God had something for me, but I was so angry. I was very, very angry. I looked happy on the outside. I was happy to be alive, but on the inside, I was so angry. I'd been yelling at God for years. Since I was 16, I'd go out into the bush and literally, I'd yell at God. And I continued that, but I kept it on the inside. And this last few years, it's been just a blessing to have Him in my life and let Him in. And this year, started understanding how I have to give Him 100%, not of what I think that He should do, or God, I'll do this if you do this. If you do this, God, I'll help you, but you got to do this first. I got to give everything to Him, and He will give me everything and more. Mm-hmm. And that's what I needed to do, and now I'm ready for this, and I'm so happy to be here.
So great. You're a little taller. You might want to sit with knees up. Just because, there we go. Might not make it all the way to the end. All right. You've made Jesus Lord of your life? Have you made Jesus?
Yes.
Based on the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, then I'll baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yes! Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Paige, will you come up? Paige! Paige, would you, when you're ready, share with us just what God's been to you and how He's changed your life?
Sorry, this has been really emotional for me.
It's okay.
guess I'll just start off with a bit of my testimony. Like Alicia and the others, I grew up a Christian my entire life. I've been coming to C3 since the first service. Nothing dramatic has really happened in my life. And I got baptized also when I was 6 years old, and it was just something that my entire Sunday school service did. And I guess there's been different situations in my life that have led me here to make this decision today. And I guess about 2 weeks ago, I was in my room and I was writing a letter to myself about the person that I want to become. And about halfway through, I realized that this is something that I need to do. And I just wanted to be real with you guys today, so I brought that letter, and I was just going to read it for you. This is my desire, to be a person that exudes love on others, no matter who they are or what they've done. A person that loves and brings out the best in those who may not appear to deserve it. A person that doesn't judge or look down or speak negatively of people, but believes and looks for the good. A person that no matter how many times has been burnt in the past, has a tender, loving, caring heart that isn't consumed with bitterness and hurt, because she isn't relying on her own strength, but on the strength of someone greater. A person that doesn't look for others for love or to find some sense of worth. A person that doesn't find it necessary to look a certain way, weigh a certain amount, or act a specific way to feel beautiful. A person that doesn't run to boys for a love that comes and goes, but runs to someone who loves her unconditionally every day. A person that doesn't sway in her beliefs, but is a rock in her faith, because she's rooted herself in the greatest foundation. A person that doesn't just attend church because that's what you do, but a person that comes because she wants to hang out with her best friend and knows he will meet her there no matter how much she struggled that week. A person that has a genuine happiness, not because her life is perfect, but because the perfect one consumes her. I desire to be a person that travels to the deepest, darkest places in the world and bring hope and light. A hope that trumps a hope in physical resources or medical aid. A person that brings hope to people that even if nothing in their physical world changes, causes the greatest change in their heart and their mind, an everlasting hope in someone so much bigger than their physical world. But above all, my greatest desire is to love Jesus and to know that I'm loved by him. I crave a love so deep and so unconditional, and I finally realized that And I finally realized that he is the only one that can satisfy that craving. I've realized this person. I've realized that this person I desire to become would not be attainable without him. I'm exhausted. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own and failing every other day. I'm tired of looking for satisfaction in things and people that will never be able to satisfy the desires of my heart. I'm tired of doing life on my own. And this is why I've decided to get baptized again, because I need my best friend back. My best friend that no matter how many times I've hurt or ignored has never left my side. So I'm doing this to say I'm sorry and that I want to repair this friendship with Jesus. Not to say that I'm going to be perfect from here on out or that I'm not going to make mistakes along the way, but that I commit to doing my best not to. This process has been the most intimidating thing I've ever made myself face, and standing here today is even more terrifying. But I read this quote a while back that really stuck with me. The future is not going to be defined by those who rely on their intelligence, their talent, or their good looks. Instead, the future is dependent on the choices and steps made by God's people in the time he has placed at our disposal. So I decided to take this step. And here's my new beginning.
Awesome. beautiful. Paige, you've made Jesus Lord of your life. All right, based on the confession of your faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Glory!
Wonderful. Cody, come on up, jeans and all. Well, Cody, would you share with us how God has changed your world and how God's been part of your life?
Hi. It wasn't like I woke up one morning and it was a quick solution, or I got to this place just all of a sudden. It's been a process. Had a lot of loss in my life, a lot of things I was really angry about. I've had a lot of people leave. I've had a lot of people. I've buried friends. I've buried parents. It's been a rough road. I struggled for a long time with addiction. I drank to escape. I drank to disappear from everything that I thought I had control over. And through a series of events, I woke up one morning and realized there had to be a change. And like I say, like this life thing, I don't necessarily think I'm the smartest guy with. It's been baffling at times, and we all end up in the place we need to be at the right time. There's no mistakes. I came to know God. I think it's interesting what we've been preaching on the last few weeks, turning it over. It's not an on-off switch. We don't just turn everything over at once. It'd be great if we could. I couldn't. I give one thing and save my life. And it was a teaching, and it was a way that God could show me how he works, how much love is there, and how much he still wants me to choose. It's like, you know, you see children on the playground, and, you know, their parents will let them run. And when they fall down, they're there to pick them up. And they'll still let them run. And, you know, I was able to give up one thing. And it left for good. You know, the thing I thought I could control, I couldn't stop. And trying it again. You know, like you said the other day, last weekend, you know, I'm going to give God one room. I'll give him two rooms. I'll give him a whole floor. You know, today I've got a row of people here to see me. Like some of the most influential people I've ever had in my life. Like right there. You know, I've got two businesses. I'm a contributing member of society. I have a business partner, Aaron. You know? He's a great man. And I'm, like, the blessings I have in my life today are, I don't have words, you know, to come up and to talk about it. But, you know, I get to do things. We pray before we work. You know, before we start our day, we pray. Pray for guidance, pray for safety. You know, one of the hardest things I've had to face with relationships. You know, there's an anointing there. She's right there. You know, I lost her at 17. That was one of the biggest heartaches I've ever experienced. You know, and it wasn't something we really could control. And you know, she's back, right there. You know, everything comes full circle, and And it does. It all comes full circle. And it wasn't until I gave it up. You know? I had to give up the whole house. I had to give up everything. And my life, like, come and ask me about it sometime. I can't describe it. It's just, you know. So there's a calling on my heart. There's a calling on my heart to do more, and there's a calling on my heart. It's not about, you know, I need to run to Africa, jump on the next plane and go to Africa, or volunteer in a mission, or, you know, I've been blessed with gifts. God gave me gifts, you know, and I get to use those gifts to do better, you know, and that's what I intend to do. So this is just, I guess, a way I can show for myself and to display to God and to everyone here just what exactly it is He's done to my heart. And I'm so thankful. God is so good. He's so good to us. And it's just how much we let Him in. You know? So, I guess it's time for Duncan.
Duncan. Go ahead. Cody, have you made Jesus Lord of your life?
Absolutely.
And based on the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes! Brooke, would you share with us what God has been to you and what He's done in your life?
Well, for about 7 years, everyone I knew just was kind of living with the idea that I was either going to die through starvation or I was going to die by taking my own life. And that's how it was for 7 years. Nobody had any hope, and everyone called me chronic, and that he had just accepted that I was going to die. And I thought I was alone the whole time. And the God that I thought I knew isn't who I know now, because I thought that He had just given up on me and that He had planned for me to just go. And I know that, like, this last year I've just done so much healing, and it was the end of that 7 years of just suffering and just feeling like I hated myself, and I just wanted to disappear physically, and I just wanted to just be gone. And he just took that girl that had so much. She had so much pain, and she had a lot of scars physically and mentally and emotionally. But now He started to heal those, and I know that I'm never going to leave Him again, because He never left me and He never will leave me. And that's why I just want to get baptized today, because my life will be for Him. Yes. Because He never stopped saving me, no matter how much I wanted Him to, or no matter how much I wanted to be gone, He never stopped.
Amen. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's so great. Made Jesus Lord of your life. Let's throw your hands right up here. Just cross them on. There you go. All right. Based on the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Trust Him in His
Let's just sing one last song together. Let's lift and high the song. It just has this big bridge at the end. Just "You Will Be Praised." Let's just sing that together as a church. I'm really reverby. It's beautiful. but let's just sing together, and then we will be released. There's a couple more cupcakes out there. And go. I just was enjoying the reverb. And have an amazing week. We'll see you again soon.
Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole, and you shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes. But you will have your bride.
Like the Lord said, let's get some prayer going on. So you are completely released. You're free to go. But I want to open up the altar for anybody that wants to receive some prayer right now. We'll have a couple. We'll have the Teasons will be on this side. My wife, Mike, and Alicia will be over here. Actually, my wife can just hold a baby. Mike and Alicia will be over here. And we just want to pray for you. We want to speak life into you. If you're going through something, if you want somebody to talk to you, if you want somebody to pray through something with you, somebody to lean on. We all need someone. Come on up to the front, receive some prayer, but you are released. Have an amazing week. And we're just going to keep the music going nice and soft till then.